No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer,
take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to flying and the aviation lifestyle. We are back from the NBAA show,
which stands for
National Business Aviation Association.
Yay!
See, learning has occurred. I deserve another banana.
Don't push your luck.
What are you talking about, man? I brown-nosed enough last week with you with this
popover.
Yeah,
but they don't understand. There's somebody standing in front of you with a cue card with that written on it.
What's that?
The National Business Aviation Association.
No. It's just, yeah,
you've
after
got it on
you
your screen right there.
50 times.
You. Don't believe him, folks. He's lying to you.
It'll sink in eventually once I say it. It usually takes about 50 times over a two-year period.
Okay.
Before it finally starts to sink in. But as far as sucking up to my flight instructor, who is Captain Ed here, I thought that my Bob Hoover gift to you of that poster that he autographed personally to you, well, not personally to you.
No, but it does say Ed on it.
Yeah,
I'm just one of those other guys.
Well, actually, it's more valuable that when it doesn't say to Ed.
Oh. Okay.
So that's why, I mean, he could have put that on there. So no, make it generic. So Ed can, when he gets bored of this, he can frame it and put it up on eBay.
It's getting a little deep.
I'm trying. You know, you do whatever you can to suck up to your flight.
Me and
instructor.
About 5,000 other people he signed his name for the other day.
Yes. Well, maybe. But he was very accommodating.
Mm-hmm. And, true gentleman.
Yes. And we're going to talk a lot about him today, a little bit more than what we did last week. So there were some other things that happened at the NBAA show surrounding Bob Hoover that was really cool, and we're going to dive into that in just a bit. But before we do, let's kind of go back to the beginning, because there are a few things we missed as we did our little broadcast there from the show floor. There was so much going on, you couldn't really capture it in just one show. So I don't know, look at today's edition as like NBAA extra credit, or I don't know.
How about NBAA Revisited?
Okay, or extras or exposed. No, that wouldn't work either. But
I think you were the only one exposed there.
Yeah, well, you know, they had these happy hour parties in the afternoon. Things get a little crazy. They're not flying, so they start drinking, and yeah.
Oh, and evidently.
What?
The party I was invited to, I really missed. The Textron Aviation party.
Yeah?
That I didn't want to bother to drive down to was evidently over the top.
Really? In,
yeah.
In what sense? What do you mean?
The food was over the top.
Yeah.
The guest list was over the top. And
I wasn't invited.
And it was a private. And there was a private concert involved from some country star that I probably should know the name of. But our buddy.
See, this is why you're supposed to bring
our buddy
me.
Steve did make it to it, and took his wife, and she really didn't want to go either. But afterwards, she was like, "That was great."
Yeah.
You know. So evidently, something's going right in the industry, because if they're spending, they haven't. Textron/Cessna has not spent that kind of money on a party like that since about 2007.
Really? Well, you know, we spent the last day of the NBAA show at the static display by Orlando Executive Airport, right where the flight school is.
Yeah.
And Textron did have their entire line of planes.
No, they didn't.
Well, they didn't. They had
they didn't
the
have 172.
Well, they had the Grand
the
Caravan.
They didn't
hit up.
Yeah, but that's not their whole line. That's missing about five airplanes.
Yeah, but they had
and
like
I don't
their
think,
corporate.
I was going to say, I didn't see any military airplanes there.
Okay, maybe they did. They had a heck of a
so
lot of
wrong.
Them.
Wrong.
All right, well, I tried. I was, all I saw is a lot of, Cessna, Beechcraft, and I mean, Textron. They had a huge...
Yeah,
presence
they
at the
they
show.
Did. They did. And they merged the display this year, and,
right.
Which is what they did up at Oshkosh. They didn't do it down at Sun and Fun because it was too new. It was right after the merger.
Yeah.
They had a combined display. And it was very big. They had a lot of their product out there. Talking to our friends there that are in the sales team for Cessna, they said it was a great show. They had a lot of not just, as they call them, Whistling Gophers, they had a lot of serious interest.
Mm-hmm. Whistling Gophers, once again, are?
Well, that's somebody who walks up to an airplane salesman, asks how much does that gopher, and when they're told, they go and
yeah.
walk away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
whistling
not as many.
Gophers. Yeah, yeah, not as many Whistling Gophers this time around.
Right. So they were actually doing some business. It was actually, we were talking to Kelly, right? Right by the Grand Caravan, and I was looking at it, talking to him about it. This one was, I don't know, a pregnant version. What was it, the Grand Caravan EX something?
Yeah, the new EX.
Yeah.
And it had the cargo pod on the bottom and the corporate interior on the inside.
It looked really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I said, okay, so you've had this one for how long? He said, we've had a few months, but we're probably going to sell it here before the end of the year. People have a tendency to wait, he said, towards the end of the year sometimes, and they come in and look for a deal before the end of the year. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah. Yeah. And they also are being advised by their tax accountant saying, you need another deduction this year, or you're going to pay the federal government way too much money.
It is that time.
Well, we'll buy that airplane and put it into a business use, and we can take some very immediate depreciation and mm-hmm. offset some other income.
Yeah. Well, the Grand Caravan looked very attractive again, and you know, I've bounced around. I saw that
Twin Otter.
Then I saw the Kodiak, saw the Kodiak. Then I saw the Twin Otter, and then I saw the Grand Caravan again, and you know. The Twin Otter is going to be too big. It's going to be too big to be feasible for what I want to do, at least initially. Maybe that'll be my next step after a Grand Caravan or a Kodiak.
I think a 172 might be more than what's feasible for you at this point.
You have to dream big, Ed.
Okay.
Come on. Get with the program.
A problem. I'll dream big as you want.
Okay.
Well,
as big as
now,
your bank account will allow? Is that what you're trying to say?
Now, this is something we didn't go in together, but if you check out Flight Training Professionals' web or Facebook page, we did Friday. Airbus, corporate Airbus airplane was leaving. It's actually a charter airplane by Tyrolean Airlines. And they were getting ready to leave. So, of course, Maggie and Dr. Dave and myself go out to the airplane. We send Maggie up the stairs to ask, can we come in and look?
Right.
So we did get to go in and look, and oh my. It's set up for about 15 passengers, and the Airbus, 319 is basically the size of a 737.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. We actually have pictures on our Facebook page of the onboard full bathroom with shower and the bedroom, as well as the numerous lounge and bar areas, and so we were thinking that we could travel like this.
This would make a good flying studio.
It would be the flying studio
for Just Plane Radio. Yeah. Now, you think it was more? Was it more decked out in that Lufthansa model that we saw on the show floor?
No,
I talked to that guy.
No, I don't think it was more decked out than that, but a lot along those same lines.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was walking around.
It was not as plush as probably some of the Gulfstreams or the Bombardiers the Embraer airplanes.
Yeah.
Because, I think those were probably a little higher-end interiors. Mm-hmm. This was a high-end interior, not an A++, but maybe an A+. Definitely better than any airline interior that would go into it.
Okay, so for it would be a more practical offering for us to turn into a studio for Just Plane Radio. Our own flying studio. This would be a more practical alternative than one of those.
Well, Greg, let's put the perspective on practical.
Well, all we got to do is find the right pilot. You know, John Travolta was there at the static display.
Mm-hmm. He's got a 707. You couldn't beat that.
And he was doing some stuff with Bombardier.
Hey, you got it right this time.
I did. See? Learning has occurred. Very little, but some. And, he was there. If we could find a way to kind of,
talk him into using his 707 as the flying studio.
It's like, hey, John, what are you doing? I haven't seen you in a movie lately. Why don't you come on, join our team? We need a new crew member. And we kind of leverage his financial prowess to snag us a new Just Plane Radio flying studio.
Tell me how that goes.
You've got to dream big, Ed.
Okay.
What did I tell you earlier?
What's the color of the sky in your world?
It depends on the day. A lot of good stuff was going on, and just the size of the thing. You know, when I look back at it, and the more we were walking around the show floor, especially at the convention center, going, wow, this seemed bigger than it was 2 years ago when it was in Orlando. When you got over to the statics display, it seemed bigger to me for that as well.
Yeah, the static display, there were over 100 aircraft on display, which is about 20 more than 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they really had them packed in there. It was amazing.
They had some impressive displays, too, staging and all kinds of crazy stuff. So hopefully that's a good sign.
But I noticed there weren't as many models out there this time.
Oh, yeah, there were flight attendants. I saw a few.
But not as many as in the past.
I think he just wasn't looking hard enough. Because I saw them. Some of them were in electronic form, like that one freaky one on the show. She had a thing for me, so I'll take it. More coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
The flight situation, simple. There's no way on earth we're going to get out of here tonight. We'd have more luck playing pickup sticks with our butt cheeks than we will getting a flight out of here before daybreak.
I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly. I'm going to fly.
Hi there, Bob Hoover here. You are listening to Just Plane Radio. Here's Greg, your co-pilot, and some other folks.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be here at Just Plane Radio. That would be me, Greg, your co-pilot. Bob Hoover said so.
Yeah. So and I guess I'm some of those other folks.
Well, you're supposed to be a bozo, but he wouldn't say that.
Well, that's because he's a true gentleman.
Okay, I guess so. Or maybe he just didn't hear me.
He's
been hanging around airplanes his whole life. He probably can't hear hardly anything.
Well, then you two should have gotten along because you can't hear anything either.
What? Yeah. But that was cool meeting him. Yeah. And honestly, you know, I didn't know a lot about Bob Hoover even before this show. You brought him up over the last year or two. And I remember actually in the beginning of doing Just Plane Radio, we got an email from a listener who brought up something about Bob Hoover. And you and Keith flipped out because you thought it was actually him emailing us.
Well, you made it sound like it was him emailing us. When it was a listener who was showing us a video of Bob Hoover's strike commander routine.
Yeah.
And so, if it was Bob Hoover responding to our show at the, yeah,
Well, now he has.
He has, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're getting somewhere here.
Yeah, and until we get that cease and desist, we will continue to play that as many times as possible.
All right. But, no, I was actually, you know, to your credit, Greg,
mm-hmm.
I was going to not go with you to the second general session on Tuesday morning. You wanted to go listen to the Politicos, and I'm like, right. I really don't want to hear that crap.
You didn't want to hear James Carville and his wife, Mary Matlin, go at it?
Not really. In fact, actually, I did skip out right after the first segment, but I was glad I went with you.
Yeah.
Because, and I didn't, you know, I knew that that Mr. Hoover was receiving an award, didn't know that it was in that session.
Right.
And so they presented it to him, and then he sat down on stage with Sean D. Tucker, and Sean interviewed him. And they've been working on this project. It's called The Bob Hoover Project, which is a full-length movie about things that he's done in his life and his legacy, which is absolutely amazing. We saw some on Monday afternoon, we saw some clips from it, and that was probably the first time you've ever seen his Shrike Commander routine, where he shuts the engine down and he continues to do aerobatics for another, you know, 5 or 10 minutes without the engines running.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff.
And, you know, I actually saw it in person live many years ago, and was just in awe of what he was doing. That it's like, how the heck he's doing it. It's all about energy management, and they were talking about that a little bit.
And just to put it in perspective for people who aren't that familiar with the aviation industry, and that would be me. I mean, going into this, I knew Bob Hoover's name, and I'd heard you guys talk about him, but I didn't really know that much about what he had actually done specifically. But when we're watching that little trailer that they were running on a loop the first day of the show, there's actually a clip of Harrison Ford and him talking, and Harrison Ford's like a little kid. Like, you can see he's like bubbling over with excitement because he's sitting next to Bob Hoover, and you're thinking, wait a minute, this is Han Solo, and he's freaking out about this guy? There must be something going on with this dude that it makes him so important. And then you saw the video and stuff, like, oh, wow, that is impressive.
Yeah. And, well, and you know, so we're getting to sit here and we're getting to watch this interview, and Sean has them pull up a picture, and it's a picture of Bob Hoover, his wife, Neil Armstrong, first man to walk on the moon,
right,
and Charles Lindbergh,
yeah,
first man to fly solo across the Atlantic and live,
yeah.
And
what did he say about Charles Lindbergh? That Charles Lindbergh was kind of a, I don't know, not a weenie, but kind of, he shunned the spotlight.
Yeah, to an extreme, shunned the spotlight, traveled under assumed name.
He was like the prince of his day.
Yeah, he did not want any notoriety whatsoever, but wanted to learn more about what was going on in aviation and talk Bob into helping him with that.
But he didn't like going out in public. He didn't like doing any meet and greet. He didn't like people taking his picture.
Yeah.
And Bob went into this whole thing, and it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's like he was such a pain in the butt, you know?
Yeah. You know, he was telling the story about getting Charles Lindbergh right after the Apollo 11 moon mission, wanted to meet Neil Armstrong. And he asked Bob to arrange it. And Bob, you know, set up his whole elaborate thing so they could meet. Talk NASA into it. I mean, literally, it's 29 days after they came back from the moon. They'd just gotten out of quarantine, and Bob set this up, and that's where this picture was taken. And, you know, just the history sitting at that table, and you know, Charles Lindbergh, Neil Armstrong, and the cool thing is that Bob Hoover was the link between the two.
Yeah.
And you know, I could have sat there and listened for hours on end because that story took 15, 20 minutes. That one story.
Yeah. And he was supposed to answer four questions, and he asked the first one.
He answered the first one, and then, and then he said a few things afterwards. But like I say, I could, and I have not had the opportunity to watch the video yet, but I'm you know, kind of saving it for this weekend. But they did give us complimentary copies of the video there. But if any of our listeners want to check this video out, you go to thebobhooverproject.com and you can order them. And it's a 86-minute video about him. Harrison Ford's the moderator. Sean D. Tucker's involved in it. Burt Rutan, Dick Rutan, Clay Lacy, Gene Cernan. Pretty impressive group of people just there to talk about Mr. Hoover.
Ed. Yeah, I mean, you know, he kind of comes across to me, Ed, as someone who was really, I mean, he was the man. But he didn't really go out of his way to be in the spotlight per se. It kind of got shined on him, but he didn't necessarily go out of his way to milk it as much as he could have. No. But he was just as big, if not bigger, than like Charles Lindbergh and Neil Armstrong, especially in the aviation world. And those guys idolized him.
Yeah.
You know, see what I'm saying? So he's been a little overshadowed outside of the aviation industry, well, from my perspective. Well, I could be wrong, but you know, I don't know.
And that's true. If you ever read the book The Right Stuff,
mm-hmm. Saw the movie. Waited for the movie.
Well, the book is much better than the movie, but it's about the progress of the test pilot world and how a lot of those test pilots became the original Mercury 7 astronauts and how Yeager was passed over for that. And but in that movie, in the background, as one of Yeager's buddies is Bob Hoover. He was flying the chase plane when Yeager broke the sound barrier. He was part of that team.
He was involved with a lot of that history making stuff that, you know, a lot of people just don't know if they're not that close to the industry, I think.
Yeah.
And which is a shame, but, you know, obviously this movie can help bridge that gap and, you know, maybe give him a little bit more of the notoriety he's definitely earned in his colorful career.
Check it out at thebobhooverproject.com.
Very cool guy, too, just on a personal note. Oh. To talk to me, that says a lot.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
You know, I was looking for Jimmy Buffett at the NBAA show, and I did not see him. Have you heard any rumblings that he made an appearance anywhere?
You know, I've never seen him at one. I mean, I have seen Harrison Ford. I've seen Travolta, you know, but I've never seen Buffett. Although he has a very nice corporate Falcon jet and I think a Citation.
Well, I thought he's been seen at these things before.
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't noticed Jimmy taking a look at the corporate planes?
No.
Well, I don't know. I just wonder if he goes incognito. He shows up at the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show every now and then.
Oh, cool.
Through the years, and that's going on actually this week.
Yeah.
So I just figured he'd pop his head into the NBAA show. I was looking for him, and I didn't see him. I was definitely on Celebrity Watch. I did a little people watching right there by the entry, just sitting there. I was like, if I can just sit here, I just wonder if someone might just pop in with some sunglasses and a baseball cap. I'm like, I know who that is. But no, it never happened. At least, they were in such great disguise. They snuck by me. But I don't know. Last year at the NBAA show, they had the lead singer of Iron Maiden. He was actually working for one of the jet companies. He's a big commercial pilot. You know that guy?
I can't remember his name, but I don't know who
you're talking about. Yeah, but he's the lead singer of Iron Maiden. But I don't know. I'm wondering if Vegas maybe draws more of the celebs in.
It might.
You know, just because you're closer to the Hollywood.
Left coast.
You know, Harrison Ford, I didn't see him show up either. I thought maybe he might be here.
I've seen him twice.
Yeah.
So two of the last three in Orlando he has been at.
And if you went up to, you went up to him and said, hey, can Han Solo, can I get your autograph? Did you do that?
No, why would I do that?
Well, I don't know. You saw Harrison Ford. Wouldn't you want to prove it?
No.
You don't care.
No, they're involved in aviation. They don't want to be recognized for their other stuff.
Well, you can recognize him for his helicopter skills. He's a helicopter pilot.
Yeah. He's got lots of toys.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it'd be kind of nice to have a little chat with Harrison Ford. You think he would talk to me?
Yeah, I'm sure he would.
Or would he just say, security, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, maybe. I know I would.
Well, it's usually what I get from anyone, celebrity or not, but I think that's just me. More coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Cloud's Illusions, I recall. I really don't know clowns at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come burning out the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby. I just want to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals. We're your crew for Just Plane Radio. And we're reflecting on our adventure at NBAA, the National Business Aviation Association trade show, which happened last week in Orlando. A great event. Good signs for the economy, hopefully, that it was bigger and more activity going on. The one thing that caught my eye, and I said this going in, was the political stance the organizers took this year compared to 2 years ago, which was right before the presidential election. And I was a little surprised how vocal they were about hammering the president at the time, like hoping he wasn't going to be reelected. Of course, that didn't end up being the case. But, man, they were very political in the opening breakfast and the speeches.
And you got to remember what was going on back there, that aviation and specifically corporate aviation was under direct attack by the administration.
That's right. He was really hammering them pretty good, you know, saying, hey, we need user fees. We need this. Yeah, you got too much money. You don't need to be flying these corporate jets around. And like, wait a minute, you're flying the most expensive corporate jet in the world.
But he's different.
He's different. He's the president. And it rubbed some of those guys the wrong way. But I was just surprised how vocal they were. Yeah. And I thought we were going to see some more of that, being we're, you know, right next to the midterms here.
Yeah.
But that really wasn't the case. It was actually, if anything, to me, it kind of almost looked more the other way. That the morning that we had James Carville and Mary Matlin and Bob Hoover did his thing, there were like three or four Democrats that spoke, like from Congress, House of Representatives, or whatever.
I think what the big message was, and they've worked very hard over the past couple of years to improve the General Aviation Caucus in both houses of Congress, and I think that's what they were promoting there, and it is, when you look at the GA caucus, it's very much even. Democrat and Republican.
Yeah.
And these are people that truly believe in aviation. Most of them are aviators themselves and have signed on to the caucus. And it is the single biggest caucus in Washington. And so, you know, that's and from talking with other people in the industry, that's really where the focus needs to go, because user fees are not going to be implemented by the executive branch, are going to be implemented by the Congress. And so by being influential with this caucus and making sure your representative is part of this caucus, expressing to them that you want them to be caucused with the General Aviation Group and the pertinent things with it, that's the way to fight user fees. That's the way to get stuff done.
Yeah.
And I had a chance, Pete Bunce from Gamma, was General Aviation Manufacturers Association, did a presentation a year ago out at the Redbird migration that I was at, and he has a map of Washington and talks about all the different bureaus of this and that, and how it affects general aviation and how they're working with them and how the GA caucus is working with them. And it really brought to point that the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is not necessarily the be all, the end all. The buck doesn't necessarily stop there when it comes to what affects us the most. And I think that's where the lobbyists in aviation have realized they need to focus on that and, just kind of ignore the White House.
Yeah. Let the White House do what they will. They'll probably present user fees as another suggestion and a budget, but it's up to Congress to vote it up or vote it down. And if there's enough people saying that we're not going to do this, then he's never going to get that through.
Yeah.
However, there's always these executive order things or whatever. So you never know. It's good at least that they have a nice presence. And they are. I mean, I just wonder if that was very purposeful compared to a couple of years ago. You know, we talked about this with Tom Haines about backing off a little bit on the political rhetoric maybe. So you didn't alienate, the Democrats or whatever if it was slanted more that way.
Yeah.
Once again, James Carville had the best line of the show when he said he felt like a fire hydrant at a dog convention. there's definitely a more of a conservative slant, I think, for people that attend that show. But
I don't know. I think Bob Hoover's comment about Charles Lindbergh being a teetotaler and the fact that he himself didn't drink much during the day I thought that was a much better comment.
Well, maybe you're right. He was pretty funny, it was entertaining. But from a political standpoint, it was, I don't know, I was fascinated by the whole thing. And the one thing Tom Haines from AOPA said last week as well, Ed. And I don't know if we said this on the air, but he was saying, he goes, actually, when the Republicans are in power is when the user fee issue seems to get brought up more because they're working more on budget things. And that seems to be a budget solution that keeps being thrown out there. But when you dig into it and you see that user fees really aren't a solution and they're going to end up hurting the business overall, too, it doesn't really add up, but it's an easy thing like, oh, yeah, let's just start charging tolls. I'll pay for it that way.
Well, actually, I think he was talking more about the privatization of air traffic control and like in Canada, like in a couple other countries. But privatization will inevitably end up with fees. And, the Republican Party's against big government. They're, they want a smaller government. So let's farm it out to the private sector and have them run it for us.
Yeah.
And that will shrink government. And well, of course, how are they going to fund that? Well, they'll end up funding that. The private organization will be the one imposing the fees, not the government.
Well, we got to make sure that doesn't happen. But regardless, because it was interesting.
They keep using Air Canada or whatever the government agent or the agency in Canada that is a private ATC. It's not better. You talk to anybody that flies in Canada and flies in the States, it's not better.
Yeah. Yeah, who was that talking about that? Was the NTSB guy?
No, Tom was the one talking about that.
Was he? Tom Haines?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And he was saying that, but no, there was one of the speakers I thought talked about that as well, was saying how the Canada, how they're more modern and they have done much better at making their airspace more modern with their tracking with next gen and all that kind of stuff.
Well, actually, that was in the second general session on Tuesday. That was, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head.
Yeah,
but he was the representative from the FAA who was in charge of next gen.
Right,
and
that's
ADS-B
what it was.
ADS-B implementation.
Yeah, and he was just saying, look, they've done very well at upgrading their system in Canada, and we have a much busier airspace, but we're using this old antiquated technology.
1950s technology, absolutely.
So how did they do this? He was kind of making...
Because they don't have as big of a system to update.
Right.
As we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's probably...
And that was his... I don't know. It sounded like he wanted to emulate their quality kick it up a notch, but we'll see. But let's get back to this guy from the NTSB. And this was a very interesting speech that he gave, because it actually tapped into something we've discussed on Just Plain Radio a few times in the past, and that is how technology is starting to have there's a debate of, is it dumbing down the pilots to the point that it's being detrimental to flying and teaching overall?
No, that's not what he was saying.
Well, no, he was saying that the technology is getting so good that the pilots are getting, he didn't use the word lazy. He was like, they're not being as professional as they should be.
Yeah, but he wasn't approaching it from that perspective. He's approaching it from the perspective of a pilot should know how to use automation.
Right.
But also not need to use automation.
Correct. And still be able to fly the plane visually.
And that's where he's saying that some of the pilots in the industry are relying too much on the technology and aren't keeping themselves situationally aware. He gave the example of it was a Northwest flight that went an hour past Minneapolis coming from the east or the west coast.
Right, and the flight attendant knocked on the door.
The only way is because the flight attendants knocked on the door.
Like, hey, weren't we supposed to be down already?
Yeah.
Down!
And because they were looking at their iPads or having a discussion on the merger that was going on.
Yeah, we're playing words with friends.
That has little to do with anything other than the fact that they were not acting professionally.
Yes. Okay. Professionally, acting a little lazy, who knows? But it's a good discussion. More next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
When it comes to product development, Lightspeed Aviation operates with a simple strategy. Know your customer well and remain committed to the relentless product evolution that expands performance to the edge of technological possibilities. This approach has made Lightspeed the innovation leader and, along with their reputation for remarkable customer support, earned them tremendous respect and brand loyalty. See what's possible when a legacy of innovation and commitment to supporting a pilot's passion meet at LightspeedAviation.com.
Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like Curtis Mike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com, the website to go to and take flying lessons with Ed if you like. You can connect with him that way, as well as Keith. Who's still, he's out this week again. He couldn't be at the NBAA show, couldn't be here this week. He's doing this thing that I can't really say it. It's a four-letter word, but I'll say it anyway, work. So he's got that.
Oh, and I tell you what, as soon as I told him about our little session listening to Bob Hoover, he says, okay, now I am really jealous I wasn't there.
Well, that as he should be.
That was, in fact, I got one of these videos for him so he could watch it.
Nice. All right, well, this NTSB guy was talking about this automation issue and how it was making pilots, you know, he wasn't saying it was. He was just saying, he was throwing it out there. Do you think this is a problem? Because we're seeing this time and time again where pilots are kind of making, I don't know, dumb mistakes.
Well,
because they're too wrapped up in their technology or relying on it too much.
Yeah, the example we just talked about really didn't have technology. They were just, their conduct was unprofessional. They were too worried about discussing the merger of the seniority list when Northwest and Delta were merging.
Right.
Then paying attention to what's going on in the aircraft and situational awareness, et cetera.
Right.
He also mentioned the AirAsia
San Francisco one.
San Francisco, yeah. Where a 10,000-hour captain, okay, who was new to that airplane, but that 10,000-hour captain did not feel comfortable flying an approach visually on a beautifully clear day. Okay.
Just because the lights were out.
Well, not the just approach the lights. That wasn't the approach lights. It's the glide slope.
The glide slope lights.
So not the glide slope lights. It's the glide slope is a device in the airplane that gives you the glide path to the runway. So if you keep these two little markers in the right place, it will bring you right to the touchdown point of the runway.
Okay.
There's a right left for the localizer and up down for the glide.
So that a piece of gear in their plane wasn't working?
No, it was out on the ground.
Oh, okay. So the signal from the ground was out and then it wouldn't. Yeah. So it's a piece of equipment that talks to that signal, but that signal was off, so he had to just fly and land the plane visually, and it made him all nervous, and he made it sound like the we're seeing this where pilots are anxious about doing this type of activity, and this should be like flying 101 for them.
And we go back to the saying that, you know, we talk about our good friend Diego Alfonso, the former FAA inspector and former pilot examiner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says, I want to have two of everything in my airplane, but I don't need any of it. And that's what we're getting at here is we want to have the technology. We want to be able to use the technology. You've heard me say it time again. Technology is good if you know how to use it. If you don't know how to use it, it's a hazard, not a help. And so you got to practice with it. You got to train with it. But you also have to be able to train without it. And like when we do an instrument rating with a customer, you know, we're flying G1172s with Garmin Autopilot. So, I mean, it's really pretty nice.
Right.
But we don't teach our customer to just use that equipment. We teach them how to use it, so they thoroughly know how to use it. But we also make them say, okay, it's old school day. We're going to dial in the localizer manually, and we're going to fly the ILS with no purple data. It's all going to be green data, which means VOR versus GPS. So the movie map literally is turned to traffic only. So it's a black screen showing traffic blips only.
Yeah.
Doesn't show our approach course. So they have to use the indications on the screen, the HSI, and fly it just like they would in a standard gauge airplane. So we practice automation and situational awareness using all this equipment, and then we practice it without.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's easy to be spoiled by this technology. The automation, it gets so easy when it starts doing all the calculations for you, and you're just like, okay, I just got to make sure I keep it on this heading. And heck, you could put that into the autopilot, and you don't even have to do that and just monitor everything. It just, it does to me. It looks too easy. And that's what happens. People kind of fall into that category of like, well, okay, I'll let the computers do their thing, and God help them if something goes wrong and quits working on them, and that's when you get into trouble. So I don't know. It was interesting that he was bringing that up. And, you know, he seemed to have a pretty good grasp of the situation. I don't know what he didn't really, lead on to any particular direction or directive that they may throw down in the future on this. But
no, this was kind of more of his personal observations as being part of the NTSB or head of the NTSB, that his personal observations of what he sees in these incidents and accidents.
Right. Yeah.
And he is as well a pilot, and you know, so he's looking at it from a pilot's perspective. He's not just a bureaucrat.
Ultimately, they want to make the skies safer, and they want to limit these accidents. So they're obviously looking for answers for every accident that happens. Like, how can we make sure this doesn't happen again? And yeah. one of those themes obviously seems to be an automation issue, or they got to create some more redundancy in those automation things, maybe so they don't have this type of problem as much, or it forces the pilot to pay more attention, maybe.
It is a discipline on the pilot's perspective. And I was at a seminar, 98. So, yeah, we're talking 16 years ago.
Well, how do you legislate that, though?
Well, no,
how
but,
do you-
but discipline in the cockpit. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy that wrote a book, Dr. Kern, and it was called Redefining Airmanship. Airmanship is what everybody strives to be, a good airman, and have good airmanship. And he built this little pyramid, and at the base of the pyramid was discipline. And he went through and explained the concept by surveying people in the industry, he kind of came up with this profile, what makes the best pilots. And discipline was the cornerstone, the foundation of the entire concept. Without discipline in the pilot to do things right, do things well, you're basically giving them a multi-million dollar airplane and sending them off around the world with your logo on it. They have to have the discipline to do things right. And what this guy's talking about is, by saying there's a lack of professionalism, he's saying there's a lack of discipline in the pilot ranks.
All right. Well, Captain Ann's going to take me behind the barn and whip me accordingly. And we'll leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.